Please note that all information and content on UK Health Radio and our blog are provided by the authors, producers, and companies themselves and is only intended as additional information to your general knowledge and does not substitute professional medical advice or treatment. So please do not delay or disregard any medical advice received due to information gathered on the UK Health Radio.
Good radio.
Hello and welcome to the Yes Live Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, founder of the UK charity Yes to Life and host for the show, which focuses on integrative medicine for cancer or integrative oncology, an inclusive approach that capitalizes on the benefits of conventional lifestyle and traditional medicine.
Hi everyone, this is Johan Ilgun Fritz. I am the founder of UK Health Radio and I am thrilled and honored to be part of this very special live show. This is the fifth anniversary of Yes to Life here on UK Health Radio. Robin, from the entire team, thank you for who you are and for everything you do. So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, let's welcome Mr. Robin Daly to his anniversary show.
Hi there. Thanks very much for welcoming me onto the show, rather unusually, Johan.
Hello, Robin. Absolute pleasure to be with you, the creator of Yes to Life, the charity, as well as the live show. Wonderful to have you on UK Health Radio.
Great. Well, yeah, it's been quite a ride for the last 5 years. I've loved doing the show, and this is really a bit of a treat just to celebrate what's gone on over the last 5 years.
Yes, no, I agree. It's been fantastic to have you on. I have a small surprise for you as well. Rafaela is joining me in the studio. Rafaela, just for our listeners, your listeners, I'm not quite sure how to put this, our listeners, your listeners. Just for our listeners' sake, Rafaela is the creative director of UK Health Radio's Health Triangle magazine. And she's with us in the studio here as well.
Hello, Robin. So honored to be here with you and to celebrate the special show with you. Congratulations from the whole team of Health Triangle magazine and all our readers.
Thanks so much. Really nice to have you on the show, Rafaela.
Thank you.
We have an action-packed show, 3 live interviews, many anniversary shout-outs coming up. And just looking forward to finding out a bit more about yourself, Robin, about the man, you, and the charity. And I think let's just get started with a question from me. I'm really be interested just to hear, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, a bit more about your background and your personal story that led to Yes to Life being created.
It's one of those curious things with my background, nothing whatsoever to do with health or medicine or anything like that. There's a whole area I was thrown into through a family experience of my daughter Bryony contracting cancer when she was 9, which was like immense shock, of course, to us all at that time. Came completely out of the blue, And, you know, we went from a problem with her leg to needing to be 100 miles away in Bristol Hospital the next morning. It was that much of an emergency. Yeah, it was just a total shock, like a complete bombshell, and a very, very fast learning curve. I'm sure lots of listeners are familiar with what I'm talking about. She was 9 then, and she died when she was 23. And in between, she spent a lot of time in hospitals, had a lot of treatment. We spent a lot of time trying to find out what could help her. And it was really our own difficulties along the way that prompted us to want to set up Yes to Life. In the early days, when she was 9, there was very little information around. We didn't have a mobile phone, let alone any internet or anything like that. And we found what information we could at that time and did what we could. But actually, it was the last time she contracted cancer at age 22 that the internet had arrived. And the opposite was the problem, too much information. And trying to find out the good stuff in there and the relevant stuff and the stuff that could actually really help her, which there definitely was good stuff out there in amongst it all. It was just almost, almost an impossible task. It's so big, you know, the learning curve is so steep because cancer is such a complex area. There's outright contradiction about every single area of it, you know, what the mechanisms are, everything. So it's enormously complex. There are far too many things to look into, far too many questions to answer. And so we knew that people shouldn't be in this position of having to do this and that they needed some help. And the idea of the charity was for an organization to exist, which was there entirely on their behalf. It was that's why we wanted it to be a charity, so that it had no agenda of its own, other than to help them get their hands on information that could actually help them quite quickly and shortcut this horrendous process of trying to find out. So that was how the charity was born. Very shortly after Bryony died, it happened, Pat, but we were planning it while she was still alive, and it already existed in name while she was still alive.
Yes, I can relate to that that maze of information that hits you when you start actually researching, and which I know you know was actually the starting point of UK Health Radio as well, for me, after I was diagnosed, just to sort of make sense of everything and get as much of the good information in one place as possible. So totally relate to that as well. Yes, the other thing I always find is people, you know, it's about the person that has the cancer, but the influence it has on the surrounding people, on the families, etc., is quite often sort of neglected, and it's just as significant as on the person with the cancer diagnosed himself or herself.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's taken us, I would say, decades to find out really what happened in our family going through all that. You know, what the experience of the other two children was to suddenly be almost 100% sidelined with both parents' attention soaked up with this one child. Extraordinary experience for them. And a difficult one for them to make sense of themselves, even. So you're absolutely right. It's the effects are very far-reaching.
Yes. Okay, Robin, thank you very much. I'm sure we all know a little bit more now. At this point, I think it's time for our first guest. who was, in fact, your very first guest on the very first Yes to Life show. He is a scientist, writer, a journalist, author, a long-term trustee of the Yes to Life charity. Welcome, Jerome Byrne.
Hello. Delightful to be here on this happy anniversary occasion. But extraordinary
hey,
job.
Jerome. Thank you, Jerome. You've been you've been on this journey with me for a long time now, I realise, very long time. I met you very early on in the life of Yes to Life. And, you've been involved. I think you're certainly our longest standing trustee and a great supporter of the charity, which is fantastic.
Well, it's actually been a great opportunity for me because I do find all of the stuff around cancer really fascinating, not only because what it tells us about the body and so on, but also what it tells us about medicine and politics and money and all of that. It's a fascinating mix. And
right.
Most of the places that I write for aren't interested in covering it, because it's a bit too dodgy and fringy, and B, because it upsets too many people when you start pointing out some of the commercial interests and so on. So you've been a great place where I can put some stuff and talk about it. So thank you.
Yeah, great. So I still have a vision of sitting down at your dining room table with you, with my little brand new recording machine, making that very first interview. And we were talking about the theory behind cancer at that time in that show, I think. Am I right in thinking you've actually re-listened to it? I haven't myself, but...
Yes, I have. Yes, I did nothing more than to listen to my own voice for half an hour or so. It was great.
So you heard what you had to say then. Would you say the same things now as you said then? And how do you feel that the understanding of cancer, which is what we were talking about, has moved during the last 5 years?
Well, without wishing to blow my own trumpet or anything like that, I do think that I highlighted and pulled together something very important that was happening then. And it's the thing that I was focusing around was the issue of the ketogenic diet and the role that reducing carbohydrates could have and how that all fitted in and why it made sense with cancer. Which was something that I'd just come across a couple of years earlier. There was some researcher at Oxford who was looking into the ketogenic diet and finding out the benefits. Do I need to explain what it is, or can we assume that everybody now is familiar?
I think for the sake of an anniversary show, we'll assume everybody's got a fairly good idea.
Okay, but basically, when you drop your carbohydrates low enough, you start producing these energy packets called ketones, which can have a very beneficial effect. And the ketogenic diet opened up a way of looking at what was going on with cancer, which was contrary to the standard view, which was it was all down to genes. And this was suggesting that actually the way that the body used energy was a key factor, which was ignored. And I think that's been fantastically fruitful as far as cancer treatment. It's always existed, not very much funding on the outside, on the fringe, and heavily attacked by a lot of the people who are involved in the mainstream, and there's still a dismissal of the idea that sugar, something as simple as sugar, could play any part in having anything to do with cancer, although there are very good reasons to think that it would. And well, I'll get to it in more detail in a minute or two, but only a couple of years ago, a guy called Siddhartha Mukherjee, who is one of the great oncologists, did a wonderful book on the emperor of all maladies, which is a best-selling and very informed book on cancer. He has now taken up looking at the ketogenic diet specifically and the way that it interacts with the food, the changes in your diet can interact with drugs in a very positive way. So, and that was all rooted in the ketogenic diet. So there's a kind of very clear progression with people looking at what's happening in your body and how that can fight cancer, which also relates to the ketogenic diet and so on. So for me, that's the heart of it. And I do think that it's even more relevant now because of the pandemic and the virus. And one of the things that's very clear now is that the failure to consider nutrition in any way in response to a pandemic and something which directly and hugely strongly challenges the immune system, and the establishment model has absolutely nothing to help the immune system at all. There are a few drugs, rather crude drugs, that will make some difference, but the real key to it is a nutritional one. And I think that's one of the things going to come out of the pandemic. And the fact that cancer will be part of the what are we really missing by pushing nutrition to the sidelines. So I think that we were at the beginning of a revolution then, and I think it's continued.
I hope that's true. Well, you're right. The ketogenic diet is definitely the first diet that ever really got its head over the parapet and got looked at all seriously by scientists. Everything else was dismissed as complete nonsense up to that point, wasn't it? So it was a breakthrough moment, that. Very interesting. Okay, yeah, thank you, Jerome.
Yeah, Jerome, thank you so much. It was really interesting. I think one of the parts of the pandemic that really became visual to everybody was the lack of information on nutrition out there, except of course on UK Health Radio and a few other very important.
I think it was also a very interesting and alarming illustration of just how firmly the mainstream medical face is turned against nutrition. But even when there was something as clearly relevant as vitamin C, not dangerous, played a major part in the immune system, and even that, they just, the idea that you might use it to help patients fight them either as a protection or in the stages when they're in critical problems and the immune system is really crying out for vitamin C because it's important. Still, they in the NHS, there was absolutely no budging it. So a lot of pushing needs to be done, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, look, great. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and don't give up. Keep going.
Thank you so much, Jerome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerome. Lovely to have you here.
That was great to have Jerome. He's graced us with his knowledge quite a few times on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I think it's time for the first shout-out, which is from a famous British actor who's known for playing Michael Cutter in Law and Order and Law and Order the Special Victims Unit, as well as King Egbert in my personal favorite, Vikings. He was nominated for a Golden Globe for playing Robert F. Kennedy. He won a Satellite Award for Best Supporting Actor as Rolf Wickram in The Gathering Storm, and has appeared in Priest, The Wings of the Dove, Batman Begins, Nonstop, and Mandy.
Hi, it's Linus Roach here. I just wanted to say a couple of words about Yes to Life and why I'm so proud to be a patron of this charity. As you probably know, Robin Daly, who founded it, he has a very powerful story as to why he started this charity. But I can say that, as Robin is an old friend of mine as well, that in my life in the past 10 years, I've had three or four very close friends who've had to deal with a cancer diagnosis, and having to watch them go through this pretty terrifying experience of trying to navigate all of the options and being told you should do this, you should do that, and how to find your way within this, you know, very complex world. I realized that what Yes to Life was doing was kind of an invaluable service. Not kind of, it is an invaluable service. And it actually helped a few of those friends to figure out what was right and best for them. Because the one thing I did learn through their process was there's so much confusion around what to do that it's very important that the individual gets behind their own path to treatment. And they're, you know, they're very much convinced and engaged in that process. And without the kind of resource that Yes to Life offers, it's hard to know what to do. So it gives you a place to think, to learn, to be educated, to learn from others. And even, you know, Robin, I think, has some funds to even help individuals with alternative practices that just, you know, things that aren't available on the NHS and in the conventional medicine. So I'm just very, very proud and happy to be part of such an important charity. And I'd encourage anybody who's listening, if you've got time, to look up Yes to Life, learn more about it, get involved, support financially. It would be very, very welcome. Thank you all. And thank you, Robin, for creating such an important resource for the world. Bless you. Thank you. Bye.
What a lovely message.
Absolutely. Lovely to hear from Linus Roach there. Great. Robin, moving on. Another thing I would like to ask you. What is your viewpoint? What has happened to the environment over the last 15 years since you started Yes to Life?
Well, I have a sort of dual experience of practically nothing changing and it being slow and, you know, rather terribly sticky environment to bring change into. But actually, if I think back, a lot has changed somehow. The environment is radically different. And, you know, there are new people coming into healthcare all the time, younger people, people with a different way of looking at things. There are people from different cultures coming into healthcare. You know, I really noticed how much the Indian culture it seems to be affecting our way of looking at things these days. A lot of the top figures who are actually talking about lifestyle medicine, you know, in the most intelligent way, are, you know, highly qualified doctors who have an Indian heritage. Things like sort of yoga or meditation or whatever it is, they're just like, well, you know, that's life for them. You know, it's not something wacky and unusual. So, I still get a little bit shocked when I talk to somebody from the NHS who likes what we're doing. It's still a little bit, oh, they like what we're doing, you know. But nonetheless, it's not uncommon now. In fact, I mean, 15 years ago, it was unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable, that we would ever hear that somebody, you know, in the NHS would think what we were doing something good. So, you know, that is a massive change. And, you know, I've had top figures from the NHS on my radio show, and that's just so exciting that they want to come on and talk about stuff, you know. So I feel like we have gone from being rank outsiders to being sort of accepted by quite a swathe of people. Yeah, I mean, there's still plenty of the old guard who would just think we're the nearest thing to the devil, you know, but we just need to wait for them to die, I think. But plenty of other people actually now embrace the choice we offer, the whole outlook of people taking charge of their own situation, having choice and that kind of thing, which is just like, you know, it's how life is these days, you know, it's how it should be. And the sort of didactic, patriarchal 20th century model of medicine, which is hanging around far, far too long, is just so out of date. There's only a few areas of life where that way of working, where people are just being bossed around, still actually operate. You know, you can't do that in lots of most other places, but they get away with it. So in medicine, people will literally boss people around and shout at them and things, which, so, you know, I think it's, yeah, as I say, I think it's moved a lot, and I'm very happy with the things that have happened. I don't think there's any room for complacency, we're over the hill, it's all going to be fine. Things can turn around. There's all sorts of forces at work that don't like people to have choice. So it could easily go the other way if we take our eye off the ball. But I think it's great what's happened so far.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, especially with just watching our listenership. Even the Indian culture, India, has come up from absolutely nowhere a year ago to be our third strongest listenership country. It's amazing how they're embracing it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I wanted to just mention one thing here as well, and it is because of the incredible information that Yes to Life and some of the other show, all of the other shows on UK Health Radio are putting out there. This has not been published yet, but UK Health Radio has just clipped the 1 million mark listeners.
Wow.
In a month, so awesome. It's amazing. The pandemic naturally has contributed to that tremendously because people are out there. They are now physically out there looking for information, which is and I do agree with you. I think that it is positive. We have to keep our eye on the ball very closely, but I think health is not going to go away so quickly again. You know, people thinking about health and people just being interested in their own health is really on the cards now. And I think we'll stay for hopefully a very long time.
Mm-hmm. I certainly hope so. Yeah.
Okay. Robin, for our next shout out, we have a shout out from Dr. Robert Fakak from the Alliance for Natural Health. Probably the person with the most knowledge about health I personally have ever met, and the passion to go with it, I have to admit. I have never in my life met anybody so passionate and so intelligent. And actually, I always make a joke, I always say he actually quite irritates me, because I don't think he's ever forgotten a word he's read or written. he makes me feel so inferior sometimes, but as I said, an amazing person. I know a very good friend of yours, Robin. I met him through you, and here's right. Robin,
5 years with Johan and UK Health Radio. Wow, what an incredibly rapid 5 years that's been. Well, huge congratulations from me, Rob Verkirk, and the Alliance for Natural Health team. What a journey it's been, Robin, inspired by such a tragic loss of your daughter, Bryony. And it's just been remarkable to see how you've channeled all of that effort to ensure that so many like Bryony now have the support and information they need to choose their journey, their path, through and often out the other side of cancer. Through Yes to Life, what you've done is really build a community built with an incredible amount of hard work and, at times, let's not forget, adversity. But it's your passion and the commitment that shines through. And it's been an absolute privilege to work with you so closely now for over a decade. We're all really looking forward to the next chapter, the next decade. And Robin, keep up the great and inspiring work.
Well, excellent shout out from Rob Fakak. And it's time for another shout out. This is one of Robin's own personal heroes. He's been on the shows 3 times over the years. He's a top international writer on cancer, both orthodox and complementary and lifestyle therapies, author of several top-selling books, and the winner of countless international awards and honors.
Hi, Robin. This is Ralph Moss here in the U.S. I just wanted to congratulate you on 5 years of doing your fabulous radio show. Amazing. 250 episodes have gone by, and you've just done amazing work to enlighten the public about the options that they have in terms of cancer treatment. It was great for me to be on your show. It was wonderful when you were just getting started to come over to Great Britain and to London and take part in your Yes to Life conference. So just keep up your great work and look forward to celebrating another 5, maybe 50 more years of your wonderful performance. Thanks so much for what you do. Ralph Moss.
Oh, that was lovely to hear.
He is one of my, as you said, he's one of my heroes. He is. He's amazing, Ralph Moss. He was literally the one rock amongst the shifting sands of conjecture and, the nothing solid out there when I was first starting. You just get lots of people throwing out stuff which completely disagrees with each other. But I felt the stuff that he researched and wrote, and it still stands. It's just so, he's so thorough with everything that he does, and he's so dispassionate. He's, you know, he has no agenda against orthodox medicine at all, but he's very in favor of alternative medicine. He's very interested in it, but he's completely dispassionate about the virtues or the the shortcomings of both alternative medicine or orthodox medicine. It's just exactly what's needed, you know, just good factual stuff.
Fantastic. Yes. Okay. I think it's time for our second live guest. She was the second guest on the Yes to Life show back in the start. At that time, someone diagnosed with cancer who had just written a blog post. Now she's an international famous author and patron of the Yes to Life show. Please welcome Sophie Savage.
Hello, I'm very glad to be here to celebrate this anniversary, and I'm very glad to be here full stop, actually.
Yes. Well, really nice to have you on, Sophie.
Yeah, thanks for
brilliant.
Having me.
Yeah, so great. There's another scene that I still have in my mind, is sitting in your kitchen, at your kitchen table, recording you for that second show that I ever put together. Mm-hmm. And it's curious. I think it was Jerome who sent me your blog post, mm-hmm. actually, and I remember reading that, and I was just absolutely blown away by it. I read tons of stuff written by people with cancer, personal stories, but nothing remotely like this short blog post. And so I knew straight away, I've got to have her on my show. And eventually ended up in Kent there talking to you. So
yeah, in my
really
kitchen.
Exciting. Yes, in your kitchen. But, I think I didn't speak to you for another 3 or 4 months, and you then announced to me that you'd written a book in the meantime. And that turned out to be?
The Cancer Whisperer.
Yes.
I did that blog post, kicked off. Well, I started blogging basically because I have a background in psychology. I'm not a health master in any way. I've learned a lot since then, but I'm not a health practitioner. But I just witnessed the extent to which fear was running the show, and that when fear takes hold of patients, it makes their decisions for them, and then those decisions can be really not the best decisions to make. So I became very conscious of that, and I've since learned a lot actually about the impact of fear on medical outcomes. There is increasing evidence about the impact of fear on medical outcomes. So I really wrote The Cancer Whisperer to help people navigate the psychological territory of getting a diagnosis, and I've been yeah, it changed my life, that book.
It changed a lot of people's lives. Became hugely, big seller. It was a fantastic combination in a way, because your writing style, as I say, is to die for. Obviously, quite a completely natural writer.
I wouldn't quite die for it, actually.
No, okay, but
because I work so hard to stay alive, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Fair enough. But it's a combination of that, though. But not only that, though, you were exploring territory in a way that hadn't been really opened up, I don't think. You're breaking new ground with that book, and I think that's why it had such an impact. The combination of those two things, a book which was such a joy to read, but that also took people into a new place and threw a new light on how important that area is for people with cancer.
When I was in those early months, I have stage 4 lung cancer. I still have stage 4 lung cancer. But I was dying and I was in very deep trouble, as you may recall. And the first blog was about the many brain tumors that I had at that point. And there were two books I couldn't find. One was How to Deal with the Terror. And nobody asked me, what are you feeling? Are you afraid? Do you need emotional support? Nobody asked me that. They told me how to get blue badge parking, which is lovely privilege to have, actually, perks of cancer. But but nobody asked the question, and I found it kind of staggering. So that was the book I couldn't find in the great industry of cancer books. And the second was How to Find the Best Complementary Treatments. And then you produced The Cancer Revolution. Those were the two books I most wanted, because I didn't want to have to do all the research myself. I wanted one encyclopedia where I could find recommended complementary practitioners. I do call it complementary because I integrate them very. I'm a big fan of both, actually. And I'm very clear that the pharmaceutical drugs I'm on are the primary reason why I'm still alive. I'm very clear on that. So I like to integrate the two. But those were the books I couldn't find. And I wrote one and then you wrote the other. So here we go.
Good job. Job done. Great. Well, it's amazing that, that was a long time ago. We're talking 5 years ago now. And, I know your journey between then and now has been extraordinary, with many highs and quite a few extraordinary lows and difficulties you've been through as well. And to have somebody who's now as high profile as you are demonstrating what's possible if you're open-minded about integrative medicine and you're intelligent about it, and you're not railroaded into anybody else's particular view of how things should be done, I think is a fantastic thing for the world. It's a shining example.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I'm very clear complementary treatments have made a huge difference to my immune system, my well-being, my wellness. And I've often spoken, as you know, about being caught in the crossfire between complementary and conventional medicine, where the patient's in the middle and the doctors are saying, don't do that quackery, it's all a bunch of nonsense, here's a bowl of sweets. And then some practitioners, complementary or alternative practitioners, say, don't do chemo, it will kill you. And the patient gets stuck in the middle of two equally righteous positions, actually. And I've wanted to try and bridge that bridge that divide and say, look, there's value here, but we need to be discerning. We need to be educated. We need to become experts in our own disease, which is one of the reasons I'm still here. There have been moments when I've known more about my illness than my own oncologist. And that has saved my life at least twice. So I'm all about take the reins, become an expert in your own disease, and educate yourself.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's right. And that's what we're trying to help people do as well. So on the same team. And thank you so much for being our trustee, our patron, sorry, as well. That's really great for us to have you as such a shiny example.
It's my privilege. The council world truly needs what you bring.
Great,
Sophie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Robin, the next shout out is from a person that I met actually right in the beginning of my cancer journey, Robert Scott Bell. Mm-hmm. I finally personally met him together with yourself at the Healthcare Crisis Think Tank in 2015. Finally could shake his hand and thank him for everything that he had done with us, for me. Here is Robert Scott Bell from the U.S.
Hello to all our friends on UK Health Radio and to our very...
Tip, cheerio, bollocks, and...
Super Don,
this Cranky. Is a very... No, wait a minute. That's Australian. Never mind.
Super Don, this is a very serious message we're trying to send to our friend Robin Daly at UK Health Radio, and you're coming in with silly Britishisms from an American that's never even been there.
That's why I'm doing it, because I've never been there and I have no idea what I'm doing. But Robin Daly, I understand we got an anniversary coming up here.
That's right. Fifth year anniversary.
5 years?
Seriously. He's only got like four times that amount of time to catch up with me. But it's okay. Robin, you're doing great. Great work, Robin. By the way, if you don't know who this is Robert Scott Bell and Super Don. And we love you. We love all of our friends and family at UK Health Radio. And seriously, congratulations. For all of the great work and important work that you're doing with Yes to Life, your foundation, which I understand you started like 5 years earlier. Good on you for catching on to, maybe we should talk to somebody about this 5 years later and then getting on UK Health Radio. That's a great job. And I really love what you're doing, bringing the power to heal back where it belongs with each and every one of the Brits out there. You know who you are, who need this information desperately to be empowered to help them get well and stay well. So Robin Daly, thank you, even though your name... Well, actually, I have a cousin. My cousin Robin is in England, too. So I was confused at first. Was I going to say hello to my cousin? But I guess you can be my cousin, Robin Daly, here. Thank you.
Wasn't Robin Leach from the UK?
Oh, don't bring up Robin Leach. Is Robin Leach a fan, too? Well, Robin Daly, you have to get back to us on that. But anyway, seriously, we're just a couple of Yanks.
We're just having
a good time and appreciate so much, of course, Johan and the entire UK Health Radio crew. And of course, that you've been there for 5 years is so great. We love the outreach that you're doing and you keep it up. And we'll keep cheering you on here from across the pond, as they say. And one day maybe we can get you on and you can tell us all the wonderful things you've learned in the years you've been doing the broadcast there at UK Health Radio. So with that, Super Don, me, Robert Scott Bell, wishing you another 5 or any number of years more that you want on UK Health Radio, because the power to heal is yours and you're helping them remember that it's theirs too. Thanks, Robin.
Oh, that was great to hear.
Great. having a laugh there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's very nice.
Robin, I've just looked at the clock. We're sort of starting to run out of time a little bit. So I think it would be the perfect time to bring in our third guest, Sue De Cesare, Executive Director of Yes to Life for almost the last 5 years and some time before, now retired but working as working on the Yes to Life helpline. Sue, welcome. Lovely to see you. Lovely to have you on the show on UK Health Radio. Thank you just so much for your time.
Lovely to be on here talking about UK Health Radio and 5 years with Yes to Life. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's crept up suddenly and suddenly, oh my God, we've actually been doing this for 5 years. There's over 250 shows out there now. Rather extraordinary, but I was thinking over when we met Johan, and the idea had been kicking around in my mind that it'd be quite fun if yesterday I've had a radio show sort of thing, you know. But I wasn't, I hadn't done anything very serious about it. But I just thought, well, nothing ventured. And I remember just asking him and he said yes, just like that. So it was a pretty extraordinary opportunity for us. And I think, I know you think the show is an extraordinary asset to both the charity and the listeners. Do you want to say a little bit about it? Because I know you always sure. Have a lot to say about the show itself. Yeah.
I do remember suddenly, oh my God, we've got to do a weekly radio show. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to manage it? And actually, of course, at first, you're really excited. Then the enormity of actually having a show every week to deliver to Johan and the team, it's quite a lot of pressure. And we knew a lot of people that... would be great to have on the show, but of course we're running a charity and it's a small team and it's a very busy charity, and getting hold of people to do the interviews in the right time, and I was sort of thinking back the last few days about this, about the number of times we'd have those conversations. Oh my God, the person that we had lined up for next week has, have you got any ideas? And so we did have a good sort of list of people that we could ask to come on to the show. And they were always very willing to, even at the last moment. So we were always very grateful to everybody that has been able to come along to the show for you to interview. And just the breadth of people. I mean, sometimes you say, oh, I've managed to get this person and I hadn't heard of them, and I'd look them up and I was going, how on earth did you manage to get them to come to the show? And it was amazing. And I think the other thing is, you know, when you started, you were quite understandably a bit nervous about what questions you'd ask. But one of the key successes is, I think, the prep work you do for the show has definitely paid off in delivering, you know, week on week, really great information for people to listen into. And I think that's borne out by the number of people that are now kind of tuning in and know about the show. And it means we've met lots of people, because some of the people you've interviewed now do more for the charity. They'll speak at our events. We can tie lots of things in with UK Health Radio in terms of delivering, you know, a much wider thing than just sort of the radio show itself. And I think that is what people with cancer need. They need to know about the show. They need to know about UK Health Radio, which is doing amazing things. And I think you should, you know, this should be your sole job, delivering the weekly show, so the pressure is taken off of the lots and lots of other things that have to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was quite a surprise to me how relatively easy it was to get people to say yes. You know, I just got into this sort of swing of, well, just, you never know, I'll ask. And then people very surprisingly seemed very willing to come on, particularly when it came to, as I was saying earlier, to people from the NHS, which I love having people from the NHS on, of course. So it's been very exciting. I think for me personally, it's got me connected to so many people doing this job, you know, that I would never have had a reason to sort of get in touch with them before. I just literally. And sometimes these are people, they're sort of distant gods to me, you know, sort of very important people on the other side of the world. But, you know, at this point, I count them as my friends, quite a few of them. So it's amazing that it's given me this opportunity to reach out and get to know these people and just chat to them and, you know, get much more of an understanding of where they're coming from and, you know, how they see things. So fantastic thing. I love doing it. I mean, it's a pressure, you're right, at times, but, you know, but that said, it's just been the most wonderful thing for the, and I think it's also from the point of view of our beneficiaries, I think it's a huge resource. Something I haven't spoken about yet, but we've got a new feature on our website, which is actually enables people to search by guest, by subject, by keywords, all sorts of different ways of searching to find material from the past 5 years. We haven't actually finished uploading the whole archive yet, but we will be there shortly, and you can go up there basically and find material, which is going to make it even more useful. This, like our back catalogue, is suddenly very accessible. So, anyway, it's a great thing, the radio show, and you're definitely part of getting that whole thing on the road with me. So, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been a great journey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sue, for coming on. Robin, I don't know if you know this, but after I met you at the think tank, the crisis think tank, I was actually planning on asking you to do a show, but you jumped in before I could ask you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, great minds, as they say.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's time for, we really are slightly pressed on time, so I think it's time for another shout out, a quick one.
Yeah, and this one is from Patricia Pete from Cancer Options.
Hi, this is Patricia Pete from Cancer Options. I just want to congratulate Robin on his 5 years of running what is a great radio show. He always has great guests, and the shows are always interesting and, most importantly, very informative. Cancer Options has had a very long association with Robin and with the whole brilliant team at Yes to Life. I think we've seen the whole movement for integrative cancer support come to fruition in the UK and around the world. The underlying principles are now coming through strongly in research, and we will all continue to work to make an integrative approach the norm for people dealing with cancer. Robin and Yes to Life have worked so hard in giving people information and support so they can be empowered to make their own choices about how they deal with cancer. Long may it continue, and huge congratulations, Robin, for your continued hard work on behalf of people dealing with cancer everywhere.
I believe there is a final shout out, which we have for you. It's another one of our very famous friends from Robin, and probably best known for his role as Paddy Garvey in the ITV series Soldier Soldier, Bronn in the hit series Game of Thrones, and Bennett Drake in Ripper. He and his Soldier Soldier co-star Robson Green also performed as Robson and Jerome in the latter half of the 1990s. They released a version of Unchained Melody, which stayed at number one for 7 weeks in the UK chart, selling more than a million copies and becoming the best-selling single of 1995.
Hello, I'm Jerome Flynn, and I'm immensely proud to be a patron for Yes to Life. And have been since their formation 15 years ago. And it's amazing to look back at those 15 years and to realize the effect they've had on the environment of the whole health system for anybody who finds themselves living with cancer. What Yes to Life has made available now compared to what was there 16 years ago is truly extraordinary, and I can speak from my own experience because I lost my father when he was only 62. And if I think about how things would have been in those early days and weeks after diagnosis, if he had had Yes to Life there with all their extraordinary wealth of expertise and resources, and most crucially, support. Well, I just know it would have made such a huge difference to how he felt and dealt with the situation he found himself in. And in turn, that would have made a huge difference to all of his family who were panicking along with him. I mean, Dad felt like he was scrabbling around on his own to try and discover what choices were available to him. He was diagnosed basically, he was told he only had 6 months to live. And as was the fellow next to him, in the cubicle next to him. And he saw his friends, he'd become friends with this man in this day that they spent at the hospital. And he saw the life drain out of his friend's face when the same doctor delivered this news. But Dad was determined to at least find out what the options were. And he was absolutely determined not just to lay down his life and accept that that was the case. And as luck would have it, he found a thread and he found an alternative treatment that gave him nearly 3 years extra life. 3 years that was so precious to him and to all of us. And he was lucky. The point is, for anyone who finds themselves living with cancer now, Yesterlife is here, supporting, informing, empowering those people to make the best choices for their individual situation, for their life, to say yes to life. And that, to me, is precious. That's everything. And I take immense comfort knowing that Yesterlife is there. So, Robin, I'm just wanting to send you a huge heartfelt thanks for the beautiful and crucial gift that you have created with Yesterlife. And deep gratitude to all of you at Yesterlife for the thousands of us whose lives you have touched and benefited, and for the thousands of us who are yet to feel the benefit. It means everything that you're there, and the world is most definitely a better place for the work that you do. God bless you. Thank you.
Wow. I don't think that leaves much else to say. I think Jerome Flynn really, really hit the nail on the head. Robin, I can only, unfortunately, we only have about a minute left. I can only agree with Jerome Flynn there. Thank you for who you are and absolutely for everything you do for UK Health Radio, for your charity and for mankind.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Johan, and thanks for today. It's been really nice to just connect with old friends and look back over the time and see what's happened. It's been a great journey, and yeah, I'm very pleased to have been on it.
Yes, As I said, I can only second that as well. To play out, I'm going to play out. I hope we still can get the message in from Clive Carroll. He's the person that wrote your theme music. He wrote you a special outro, and this is it. Take care, Robin, and look forward to listening to you on UK Health Radio.
Thanks.
Hello, it's Clive Carroll here, and I'm sending congratulations to the Yes to Life show on their 5-year anniversary. Thanks very much for starting and ending the shows with my guitar playing over the years. And I'm sitting at home during lockdown, and right now I've got a guitar on my lap, and I thought I'd play you a Cannonball Adderley classic. This is a number called Sermonette, and I hope you like it. All right then, here goes.